He is so good. Before I get started this morning, if you have not already, I want to emphasize that if you haven't downloaded the church app on your smartphone, if you have a stupid phone, I'm sorry, it won't work on that one. It does have to be a smartphone. If you have an iPhone, it's on the Apple Store. If you have a sanctified phone, it's on Google Play on Android, because those are the only sanctified phones, right? I know there's, yes. All right. But Siloam Trinity, you'll see our logo. Download those, especially for those of you who get kicked off of social media platforms because of your comments and opinions. See, it won't matter then. You'll still be able to contact the church. Well, I'm on a roll, aren't we? If you can still contact your church family, you still have access to all of our media, all of our announcements. We are expecting, like Pastor said, some pretty rough weather this week, so if Wednesday services would be affected, you'll get a notification through the app. So download that if you haven't already. How many of you are glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
No matter how rough of a week that I have, I've told Dad this before, I can come to church, I can get in my element, I can get in the presence of the Lord. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters because I'm in His presence and I'm in my element. See, my element is where my spirit man is. My physical body may be different, but my element, where I live, is in the presence of God because He created me. So no matter how much of a rough week you've had this week, and get in your element. Get in your element today. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 for the text, as where I'm going to read from this morning. But as you're going there, whether it be on your phone app or your Bible, whatever it may be, I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you like to win? You're just competitively, that's your nature. You like to win. Who likes to win? How many of you like to lose? Anybody like to lose? I'm not saying let other people win. That's what I do. So that she doesn't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, do you really like to lose? There's not one of us that like to lose. Right? Not at all. How many of you ever feel like you're winning in life? Sure. How many of you ever feel like you're losing in life? Yeah. We all have times in every aspect of our life that we have wins and we have losses. It doesn't matter what it is. Hey, as perfect or as unperfect you think your relationship with your best friend or your spouse is, whether as perfect or as unperfect you think your job is, whether as unperfect or perfect you think your church is, we all go through stages of wins and losses. It's called life. It's life. However, God has given us the tools, or the game pieces, so to speak, to win. And every time those tools are at our disposal, yet there are times that we choose not to use them. We choose it in order to be successful and win at life, at work, in our spiritual walk, in our relationships. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. And as a friend once told me, actually just this past week, he said, sometimes life just gets me in a funk. I agree. I said, yeah, life gets me there too. I've been there, done that. Many times, we have let circumstances in life overwhelm us. And even though we may not say a word, our countenance says, I am defeated.
Right.
See this man up here on the screen? He doesn't look victorious. He looks like he's dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes our countenance looks like that. And to be honest, I'll wallow in that state for a while. Anybody else ever guilty of that? I'm just going to wallow in it for a while. We like the self-pity at times. Just life just stinks, nothing's going right, and we just get in a bad attitude. However, what has not changed is the fact that the tools, or the game pieces, again, if you will, the armor of God was always at my disposal. And yet I remain in a defeated state because I, Chris, only me, or only you, choose not to pick up the pieces that God has given me and use them. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Stand with me if you would. Let's read verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many of you think we're in the evil day? He says we're going to be able to withstand this. We've got to do what He just told us we've got to do. So, to be able to withstand, having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, not just one, not just two, but the word says all. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Take your Bible, whatever you have, put it over your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm so thankful that we're in your house today. God, let us never take it for granted. God, that we can come to your house with our fellow believers and worship you. Dive into your word. God, I am sick of not winning when you have given me every tool in life to win. God, there are those here today, I'm convinced, that are sick of not winning. And Lord, the only way to win and be successful in life is to make you number one. So today, God, I ask that we apply your word to our heart and our life in a new way. Change my thought process. Change my outlook. But most of all, change my heart, God. Change our heart, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. And the body said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you some reasons why we as Christians get cranky. No. We don't get cranky. We don't get irritable. We don't get out of sorts, do we? Yeah, we do. Yep. I'm going to give you some reasons today why we get that way and seemingly lose or feel defeated with life. And then, I also want to give you some practical steps according to God's Word on living daily in a way that He wants us to live. Remember 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2 says, I pray that you prosper and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. Our biggest problem, don't let this burst your bubble, our biggest problem is not our spouse, it's not our best friend, it's not our children, it's not our church, it's not our employer. Our biggest problem is me. When you look in the mirror of the morning, that is your biggest problem. When I look in the mirror of the morning, I am my biggest problem. So, if I am my biggest problem, what gets me in that state? I'm going to give you six things that often get us defeated the quickest. And then some biblical steps to combat that. On the back of your bulletin is a place for notes if you'd like to take notes this morning. Because some scriptures and areas I'm going to go through quickly. Number one, lack of progress. Lack of progress. Anybody started out the new year with resolutions that I'm going to lose 10 pounds, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to eat right, and because of lack of progress, by January the 3rd, it's over. We have been told or thought that this Christian life is a marathon and not a sprint, right? Paul alludes to that in his writings about being a race. But honestly, most of the time, life feels like we're running on a treadmill. It's when you expect God to move as fast as you want to, but you constantly feel you're hitting a wall because progress is moving slower than your ambition. Feeling frustrated because of lack of progress really tests our trust and belief in God's timing. I am learning that God wants to grow me more than He wants to grow anything else. You know why? Because He's a personal God. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants a personal relationship with me. So I am learning that God wants to grow me more than He wants to grow anything else. And He usually teaches His best lessons by making me wait. Another thing that I'm not good at. But the waiting time makes us not pick up the tools He's provided and we become defeated. We get tired of waiting on God, so we do our own thing. And we mess up God's timing. When we interject into God's timing and don't wait on Him, there's so many scriptures I could refer to this morning and say, wait on God. When you don't know what to do, stand. It means just wait. We completely take God out of the picture and say, God, I don't trust You. So I'm going to take control of this and I'm going to do my own thing. And boy, do we mess up sometimes. Most of the time. Amen. We mess up and we don't wait on God. So wait on God. Lack of progress gets us defeated. But lack of progress does not mean that God is not working.
Right.
It's just not in your timetable. And it's not in mine. So let us wait. Number two, comparison. Comparison. We compare ourselves with other people, other things, other successes, whatever it may be. Social media can be an incredible tool for ministry, for businesses, for efficiency, because resources and ideas can be shared in vast amounts, in warp speed, but in alluring conceptions. However, when we compare our bodies, our success, our relationships, our churches with what social media portrays, get this, Satan will use that comparison to get your eyes off the goal and the difference that you personally are called to make.
Yeah. That's good.
I heard somebody make a funny comment not too long ago that he was looking for somebody to date, met somebody on social media. When he met him, oh no, that's not you. That's not who I've been following. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, it has. No, it's not. They got filters for everything, people. You can make yourself look however you want to look. And I was talking to another friend several years ago when we were talking about social media has become the downfall of our world, not just America. But our world. And Satan will use comparison to make you feel defeated and that you can't deal with life. He will make you feel like you are nothing. Young person, he will make you feel like you don't have the body that God created. And you're worth nothing. Married couples, he will make you think that the grass is greener on the other side. But the only reason is because the cow poops on the grass on the other side. That's the only reason it's greener. Come on. Satan uses comparison to get us feeling defeated. We compare ourselves with everything we see. And Satan will use that as a reason to get our eyes off of the goal. And that goal being what God called you to do. I'll say this again a little bit later on. But when we stand before God one day, He's not going to judge me for what Brother Steve did. He's not going to judge me for how I talked to Aaron about what he should have been doing in his job. He's going to look at me and he's going to say, how faithful were you in what I called you to do? Something to think about. Satan uses that comparison to get our eyes off of the goal. So when you're already discouraged by your lack of results, scrolling through social media can be salt in that wound. Anybody ever put salt in a wound? Well, if you have, go home today, take a chunk out of your hand, and just take the table salt and pour it right in. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll say a few words, but you'll have to come to the altar tonight. It hurts. It burns. So you'll understand what I say. And don't forget this. God, again, will not judge you based on someone else's calling.
Right.
He's not going to judge you based on someone else's gift, someone else's ability, someone else's talent, someone else's filtered appearance on the screen. He's only going to ask if you have been faithful to what He has called you to do. I would assume if I could have bulging veins in my neck and have a black voice like T.D. Jakes, y'all might be shouting this morning. But you know what? That's not what God's called me to do. And yet, go back to what I just said. Sometimes I compare myself. Well, if I was like this, or if I was like that, maybe my business would be different.
Yeah.
Maybe my personal walk with life would be different. Stop that. It's of the devil.
Amen.
No reason to compare. God made you, you. He loves you for you. He knows what your weakness is. He knows what your strength is. So give both of them to Him and say, God, here I am. Whatever you have for me. Number three, no help. A lot of times we feel defeated in life because we don't feel like we have any help. Anybody ever felt like you were doing life all alone?
Yes.
So did several other people in the Bible. Probably several in this house today feel like that we're just doing life alone. Well, guess what? You're not. You're not doing life alone. Cameron was out and I were on our way to school this week. I know she's probably already freaking out. What's he going to say? She said, Dad, I don't just feel like. And I stopped her. And I said, Cameron, that's where you're wrong. Feelings, most of the time, are not reality.
Amen.
You know how I know that? Jeremiah 17, 9 says, that the heart is deceitful above all else.
Right.
Our feelings are not reality. Let me give you an example, a biblical example of that. The day Elijah retreated to the cave to die, remember that? Remember what he just experienced on Mount Carmel? And the day he retreated to the cave to die, he told God these words, God, there is no one left committed like I am. Depending on what translation you use, that's what he told God. Elijah felt like he had no help, even though he just experienced a major victory in his life. What was Elijah basing that off of? Feelings, not reality. Do you know how I can say that? Because in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, God tells Elijah, I have preserved and reserved 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Y'all ready? I can't tell you how many times myself in the last 2 years I've said to myself, I am so sick of being the only one. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Think about how rough the last 2 years have been. I am so sick of being the only one. I'm so tired of not having help. No one to walk this test, this trial, whatever it may be, with me. There's no one there. You know as well as I do, there are times that we take our closest human relationships for granted and feels like there is no one who understands, no one who gets it, and no one who can help. But let me tell you this, if God can preserve 7,000 people for Elijah, what makes us think that He doesn't have exactly what we need when we need it at the exact time? Hey, that's good. If God can tell Elijah, get off your pity party, dude. I have 7,000 people that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So what makes you or I think that we're doing life alone? We are not. God will provide what we need, when we need it, at the exact time that we need it.
Amen.
You know why? Because God is faithful. He has never not been faithful to me. There have been many times that I have been unfaithful to God. So many times. But not one time has He not proved His faithfulness to me regardless. We are not in this fight alone. Even when Jesus went to the garden and returned finding His closest friends asleep, and He got frustrated because His words were, and I'm going to use my own dictation here of how Jesus might have said it. Couldn't you just spend 1 hour helping me pray? I have no doubt He did. He was frustrated. He felt alone. When our soul is toxic and our energy is depleted and our physical body doesn't feel good, it is natural to look around and wonder why no one works or cares as much as you do. But in those times, we have to pick up the tools. We have to pick up those game pieces. We have to put on the armor and realize that we have been equipped to be a conqueror. So use them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You know the verse. They're not worldly. They're not fleshly. But they are mighty through God to demolishing Satan's tactics. Or pulling down strongholds.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hey, God has given us the tools. We got to use it. Yes. Number 4. Secret sin. Secret sin?
What?
Christians? Yes. Yes. Often life gets us down and out because we fail to deal with those sins that so easily beset us. Is that not what Hebrews 12:1 says? Run and lay aside all those little things that distract. That's what beset means. Distract. Weigh you down. And the Word tells us that we all struggle them. So pretending you don't, you're lying to yourself. The Scripture says we do. We all have our weaknesses. So we might as well admit it. Oh, admit it. Hold on, brother. That's a totally different ballgame. See, Scripture means by the sins that so easily set us are those things that entangle, ensnare, or get us off track, and it hampers our moving forward in Christ. Amen. Confess them and get rid of them from your life. It is amazing what potential lies within us if we would just utilize the tools given to us by the One who loves us more than anything or anyone. When we were kids, we couldn't keep a secret. You remember being told as a kid, "Hey, Jason, keep a secret, don't tell." Just, we couldn't keep that secret for nothing. Now, there may be a few extra holy ones of you out there that could do it. But most of us could not do it. We couldn't keep a secret. And it's funny kind of thinking back on that. We just couldn't contain ourselves. We had to tell somebody. However, that role reverses as adults for the most part because we live with our own secrets. The question is not, will my secret get out? The question is, do I want to let the right people know right now? Confession is scary because of the unknown consequences. But the consequences will always be worse the longer you wait. Don't be afraid of the consequences of the confession. Remember this, everybody struggles with something. Everybody struggles with something. Be afraid, though, of how learning to live successfully a double life. Don't blame your crankiness on others when if we use the tools God gave us to be free from it, we wouldn't be cranky in the first place. A few months ago, Wayne and I got together and we started meeting every so often just for nothing more for that particular purpose. Hey, this is what I've struggled with this week. I'm judging for that. He didn't judge me for what I say. As Christians, we are terrible. I'm going to say this, guys. I love with all my heart. But we are terrible about judging others when we ourselves deal with things. And if we would just confess, I'm not talking about publicly going on social media, but I'm use wisdom here. You find someone that you know you can trust. And you say, hey, this is my struggle. You have no idea what freedom comes from doing that. Absolute, just get it out in the open. Because no one is better than me, and I'm no better than you. We're all headed for the same place, but we got struggles along the way. So don't let secret sin defeat you in life. Because it will. Number five, a work-life balance. 99% of us have to work to make a living for our families. And in this day and age, it almost takes two incomes to make ends meet. It does. And as fast as gas and grocery prices are going up, some of us may have to make our wives get a second job just to pay for it. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. However, we often become defeated with life because the work-life balance isn't balanced at all. You are not called to be on call 24/7. Did you hear me, Chris? You listen to yourself? I preach to myself too, guys. This is me too. I'm not called to be on call 24/7. We are called to serve with the purpose and intention on helping to equip the body for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Right. Our jobs included. Scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might for Him. For Him. Yeah. It's all about Him. It's all about our perspective. I'm not suggesting that everything that needs to be done between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. But I am suggesting that we can work smarter at putting our family first. I love my church. I love my job. But let me tell you this. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, God created Adam and Eve and the family before He created the church or before He created your job. And if we mess that up, then nothing else matters. It's that simple. All my other work means nothing, and I'll be accountable for that. If you don't think I'm preaching to myself today, you can ask Cammie after church. No, never mind. She's brutally honest most times, so never mind. Strike that. Can somebody relate to me, though? Our work-life balance isn't balanced. And sadly, what has happened over the last two and a half years has really only made that worse. I don't know where all of you fit in your jobs. I don't know where everyone works. But I know in my work field, getting someone to work is a challenge. And when you can't find someone to work, you have to do it yourself. And you find yourself putting in 50, 60 hours a week. And you know what happens after a little while of that? My Bible reading, my devotion time becomes affected.
Right. Exactly.
My family time becomes affected. And I get cranky. And it's nobody's fault, Chris's. I might use the excuse, well, I don't have anybody else, so somebody's got to do it. But our life and our work balance has to be balanced. If we want to be successful in this thing called life, do you? Yes. Want to be successful in this thing called life? We best use what God gave us and make life what God intended, which was a vibrant, healthy, and prosperous life. I didn't say rich. I didn't say that you'd have everything that you wanted, but you will have everything that you need.
That's right.
And you will live prosperous and victorious. Guys, maybe your wife and kids would be more excited about you coming home if they even knew when you'd get there. Wives, maybe your husbands would be more excited about spending time with you if you get off social media and actually have a face-to-face conversation with them. Am I preaching yet?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it is vital to our work-life balance, to get it balanced out, or it will cost us more than we want to pay.
Yeah.
And we'll be defeated. And then we'll blame others.
Right.
But it goes right back to here. This is my biggest problem, remember? It's me. It's vital that we do that.